my major I forgot moments is when I forgot to bring my husband home, literally the one thing he asked me to get him when I was backpacking through Spain. One thing. He asked me to get him one thing on my trip. Did I get him a thing? I got him something different. I didn't get him the shirt he asked for. How? He literally asked me for one thing. How did I forget what he wanted? Let's discuss. Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully and, in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms. But, spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend Patricia Sung. Today we're talking about all about forgetting stuff. This is literally like one of the worst features of ADHD. I am recording this right now. It's still the summertime. And I just asked y'all, like, what are the main things you're struggling with right now? Because I have 10,000 ideas. How do I just pick one to talk about? So I'm like, what do y'all need right now? I think I did an Instagram poll. Yeah. One of the things that you said you're struggling with the most is forgetting. And immediately I think of like 400 examples of things that I forgot. Like the time I messed up my kid's swim lesson. I thought that like the teacher was sick or something or out of town. And so they moved the lesson, but like I got it flip-flopped so that like I showed up on the day that wasn't a lesson and I'd missed the week before when the lesson got moved too. And it was like a hot mess disaster. Like, and then I'm like staring at my kid who's like, but I thought I got to go swimming today. And then you feel just like total crap. Or the time I told you the intro. Like my husband asked me for one thing when I went backpacking through Spain. Granted, this is like many years ago. It was before we were married. He asked for a shirt. He's like, can you please get me a shirt from Spain? I'm like, of course I can get you a shirt. Well, what happens? In my head, I wanted to get him a jersey for his favorite soccer team. But I met up with his best friend who is also backpacking. Yes, we were much younger in our 20s. Like his best friend tells me, oh, he already has like a soccer shirt. So now I'm trying to find him something else because in my head, I had then like overwritten his want for a shirt with my, I want to get him a soccer jersey. Then his friend's like, he already has a soccer jersey. So I like deleted the whole thing out and started over with like, what do I get him? And I was really happy about the thing that I got him. It's super cute. But it's not what he wanted. He asked for a shirt. And like, here I come back to my boyfriend and be like, here's this cool figurine I got you of a bull because I ran with the bulls. And he's like, but where's my shirt? I'm like, ugh. It took me a hot second to figure out, wait, how did I lose you on a shirt and come up with this adorable little mosaic bull, which is clearly not what like a 20-year-old dude wanted the shirt. And you just feel awful. There are so many of these things that I can go through and think of like all the times that I've messed things up. And not only is it frustrating for us, but you know that you've hurt the person that you forgot the thing for. So here comes in this layer of the guilt and the shame of like, how did I mess this up? And you go down like the doom spiral of like, how could I possibly mess this up? Then you feel awful because you hurt the other person, you disappointed them, you didn't come through for them. And like, it just layers on and on and on. But what I want to underscore here is like, this is not an excuse. Having ADHD is not an excuse for being forgetful, but it is an explanation. Like, how do we navigate the difference between the two? In being an excuse versus being an explanation, and what do we do about it? So first, let's look at like, how does it show up as an excuse? It shows up as an excuse when something bad happens, and then we place all of the blame on ADHD, but then we don't take any personal accountability for it. And it's like, well, how do I take personal accountability for something that I didn't realize I was doing? Yeah, I gotcha. When we know that we struggle with something with ADHD, part of our responsibility, the society we are in, there are certain expectations we have to uphold, as the flexible word here, because there's, you know, there's always different have to's, but like, as a mom, like, you know, we're trying to get our kid to school on time and make sure they got all their doctor's appointments. And like, we don't have the luxury to just whatevs through life because we're responsible for other people. So when it feels like an excuse, that's when we've said like, oh, I'm blaming it on the ADHD. And not only am I not responsible, but I'm not going to do anything about it. And here's where it feels tricky. So like when I said to my husband, which was then my boyfriend, like, I literally was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you didn't ask me for a shirt. Like, I knew you wanted a souvenir, but you didn't say a shirt. He's like, I most definitely said a shirt. And it took me a while to figure out, like, well, why is he telling me that he asked for a shirt, but I have no like recollection of this. It's like, I had to walk backwards and be like, what happened? I can't just brush it under the rug, because then I'm not being respectful of the fact that I like let him down. And sitting here being like, okay, what happened? Oh, I get it. I overwrote that here. So like, what am I going to do about that? Young Patricia was just like, no, it didn't happen. But like, more responsible, self-aware Patricia now is like, ooh, okay, I need to say like, hey, I'm so sorry that I did not get you a shirt. I realize what I did. I messed up the blah-de-blah situation because I was planning on getting you this shirt, but your friend said you had one already, so I didn't get that shirt. And like, saying like owning up to like, ooh, like I did mess up. I didn't do it on purpose, and making sure that person, you know, knows that I wasn't trying to hurt them on purpose. But like, also, what am I going to do about that next time? What's my plan for avoiding that? Like, do I need to write that down somewhere? Do I need to choose ahead of time, like how I'm going to check to make sure that I fulfilled that request? Like, it can't just be, oh, that's my ADHD's fault, not mine. I'm out. Brush my hands of it. It's like, I still have to own, ooh, I really hurt your feelings. Like the same thing with my kid when he missed swim lessons. I was like, I'm so sorry, buddy. I messed up the dates. And like, it doesn't change the fact that I screwed up, but it does lie on my responsibility to make amends for what I did and then figure out how do I help myself? Like, where do I support myself? Where do I scaffold myself so they don't have that problem again as frequently? It's not going to make it disappear. But like, how am I taking care of it? So what I have noticed is that when we see this pattern in ourselves of like forgetting things, a lot of times it's like a very common thing with us. Like, really, like, seems kind of like silly. Like, I forget to eat sometimes. I forget to go to the bathroom. Like, I have to have a system in place where like, I have to stop at a certain time to go eat lunch. What am I going to do to ensure that I actually stop and eat lunch? One of the things I have to do is make sure that I have easy grab-and-go lunches for the day so that I'm working, because I know that if I don't have something I can make or reheat pretty quickly, I'm not going to go down there because it's going to feel too hard. So that's a way that I set myself up so that I make sure I go eat. I make sure that I have my water bottle filled up on my desk before I start, because then I'll at least drink the one cup of water while I'm doing all this talking. So like, we have struggles in many areas when it comes to forgetting. It can be in these like body cues, but also is like in working memory. Like, I don't hold information for long periods of time. I know that I have actually been tested for, like, when I was doing my original ADHD testing, I have the short-term memory of a third grader. So I know that I can't rely on my memory to uphold things for me. The moment I hear myself utter, oh, I'll do that later. No, you won't. You will not do that later. You will never again remember this thing. I have to have a system in place to take care of it right now, because I am never going to remember this later until it's a problem. I also see this a lot in myself and in my clients of like the thoughts swirling. There's so much going on in your head that like it's hard to keep track of the one thing that's needs to get done because your head's full of 472 to do. So again, like we need a system here to combat that mental hyperactivity that happens for a lot of us. What's your system for keeping track of all that stuff? And I've also noted that I run into this issue a lot of like when I put the information in my head as in like brainstorm mode of like, I'm trying to figure out how this is going to work. What are all my options? When I'm in brainstorm mode, nothing gets saved. It's just swirling around until I decide, okay, this is what I'm going to do. If I don't say like, okay, here's my plan. Out of all those brainstorms I came up with, what's the actual plan? And like write down the plan. It's not going to happen. So like example, on 4th of July, I tried to finagle hanging out with both my family in the morning and my husband's family in the evening. Then everything went to, you know what, in a handbasket because my husband got COVID. And so I then had to juggle hanging out with both families by myself with two small children in two different cities. And when my husband and I walked through, like, can I make this work? We brainstormed lots of different things. We came up with a thing at the end of like, okay, this will work if we do it this way. Well, I was like, okay, I can make this work. Plan made. Got it. No, I didn't do plan made. That was the problem. I was like, oh, I can make this work. Great. And I moved on. And I didn't like make note of my plan of like what I needed to do. Well, then here I am at a swimming pool trying to get my two kids out of the pool, trying to figure out lunch when like my family's on like a significantly later schedule than I am. Like we're pretty punctual on the like the meal times and bedtimes and they aren't. And so I'm trying to like, I got to feed my kids. I got to get them out of the pool. I got to get them changed. We got to drive from Austin to Houston. Like that was a hot mess. And I couldn't remember my plan. I was like, what am I supposed to be doing right now? I literally texted my husband. I'm like, what time was I supposed to leave? I realized that I had no idea because I didn't write down my plan. And he's like, you should have left already. And so it was a big hot mess. And then I forgot to text my in-laws that I was running behind. Drove all the way from Austin to Houston, FYI, that's like 2.5 hours. Didn't tell them I was running behind. My husband's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, it's that I didn't follow my system. I didn't follow my plan. So one, I feel you because I forget things all the time. But I also know that like that was the moment I had to own up of like, I'm so sorry I did not text you and tell you I was running behind. And like apologizing to my husband, I'm sorry I didn't write down the plan. I realized what happened. And now I know like my brain does things in like brainstorm mode and plan mode. And I have to transition the things from brainstorm mode into this is the now the plan mode or else it doesn't happen. So given that this is all near and dear to my heart, here are the ways that are working for me in order to stay on top of the forgetting. Are you constantly scrambling to get things done? You never seem to have quite enough time to do it all, and it feels like you're drinking from a fire hose. And then you get mad at yourself because you should have been ready because you knew about that birthday party or that field trip or that vacation for a long time now, and yet somehow you still aren't ready. As ADHD moms, we spend a lot of time living reactively. You're playing whack-a-mole throughout the day, dealing with one emergency or surprise after another. You feel like you don't even have time to catch your breath. This is a really stressful way to live every day. The hard part is that we live in the now, not the not now. And all those things, the birthday party, the vacation, the field trip, they're all not now until suddenly they are now. How do you move those things from not now to now before they are emergency now? By doing some proactive planning. Every month, I look ahead at what's coming up so that my brain recognizes that it's coming soon. It brings the not now into the now temporarily. I'm sharing this tried and true strategy with you, so head over to my website, patriciasung.com/month ahead. It's all one word, month ahead, lowercase letters, and you can download it for free. How in just 10, 15 minutes, you can walk through what's coming up and help your brain move from reactive to proactive. This 10 or 15 minute activity once a month saves future me tons of hours of stress and panic. And I want that for you too. So go to my website, patriciasung.com/month ahead, and grab your free ADHD friendly strategy, which is my secret on how I overcome time blindness and lower your stress a whole bunch. Future you will thank you so much in a couple of weeks. So go grab it now. patriciasung.com/month ahead. MONTHAHEAD. So, number one, going back to earlier when I was saying about like a lot of times this forgetfulness hurts other people. Number one is like, this is a lot more forgivable when we show that we're actively working towards a solution and we take ownership of like, I didn't do that on purpose, but I am sorry because I did hurt you, even though I didn't do it on purpose. Like, and it can't be like, I wasn't trying to do it on purpose. Like, it has to be this like heartfelt, like, I am sorry. I messed up. I genuinely want you to know that I was not trying to hurt you. Here's what I'm doing to work on it. Like, it's a lot more forgivable when we take ownership of what we did do and what we're going to do about it. We talked about this with Melissa Orlov a couple episodes ago when we were talking about relationships and ADHD. So go back and listen to that episode. I think it was 202. Hopefully my brain remembers correctly. So like interwoven in that, like that's two different things that make a big difference for me is one, actively trying to find a solution. And then two, owning up to the mistake I made. Because I also like, I'm not going to find a solution for something if I'm not owning up to the fact that I had a problem. Like, I can go on a whole soapbox here about how I wish we weren't upheld to like a lot of standards that like we can't keep up with. But here we are. That's not the soapbox for today. Just know I have one. And I still have to own up to the fact that I hurt somebody in the mistake that I made. Okay? So those are the first two. Number three, one of the things that really helps me is planning ahead. Like, this is the whole reason I started like teaching planning in the first place. Daily planning, like how to use a planner, was my original course. Like, planning ahead makes things so much easier, and I'm less likely to forget things. Like, not because I want to be this like virtuous human that doesn't forget things and is so organized. The reason I plan is because when I have a plan, it makes me think of the things ahead of time that I probably missed. So things don't fall through the cracks as much or as frequently because I stop to be like, ooh, what do I need to do about the next day? Like, this is also why we have successful mom meetups. It's like, that's the 30 minutes set aside of being like, okay, what's coming up this week? If I had done that the week before, which now I'm like, why didn't I plan? I must have been, who knows? My husband had COVID and I just need to let go that was a rough week. Who knows why I didn't get my plan done in that week? But like, that time that we set aside to be like, I'm going through my calendar, that is what allows me to think ahead and being like, oh, right, okay, 4th of July, this is going to be a really hard day. What do I need to prep ahead of time? What do I need to have packed? What do I need to know, like, my exit time and all that, especially with it being on my own? Oh, you know what? When we did the planning meeting, my husband wasn't sick yet. That's probably why. Okay, anyways, that planning time is what allows me to see the holes and see the obstacles coming up. Like, when you plan, 1 minute of planning saves you 10 minutes on the back end. So for sure, planning this 4th of July out better would have saved me way more minutes than that. But it allows me to stop and bring the future into the present, because we live in this like now, not now sense of time when we have ADHD quite frequently. Try not to be stereotypical here. Is that like the leaving of 4th of July was not now until it was now. And then I realized, oh, I'm struggling to get two small children out of the swimming pool with their cousins. We gotta go. Like, that bringing of the future into the present allows me to like walk through it. Otherwise, it just doesn't exist. Now, the other thing that really helps me here on the same vein of planning is like having all of my routines and rhythms in place. Because when I have all these routines and like rhythms, like the point of having systems, again, is not to be this virtuous human who has routines and systems. When I have routines and systems in place, they run on autopilot and they greatly decrease my decision fatigue and reduce my mental load. Like, that's why I have systems. That's why I have routines, because they go through and sort out like what has to get done, who's doing it, when, where, all the logistics. That's already decided when I have a routine. And all I have to do is spend my energy on doing the thing. I'm not trying to figure out all the questions that go with it. So when we have these routines that we can drop into and we've already like done all the hard work of deciding things, that lessens my mental load so that I'm able to conserve my energy on what really matters. And then the last thing that really helps me in the forgetting area is creating calm. So when I am very stressed out, same for you, like when you're very stressed out, you cannot critically think, you cannot problem solve, you can't plan. When you're super stressed out, your brain is in fight or flight mode and it is conserving all of its resources for survival, not problem solving. So when we create space and we create calm and we create peace and we create like a pause, that gives us the ability to actually slow down and give our bodies the capabilities to take care of itself, to make a plan, to problem solve. So that's one thing that I've spent a ton of effort on in the last year between my coaching and learning how to rewrite these unhelpful patterns in my brain where normally I just go down the doom spiral and be like, ah, everything's terrible. And I didn't even realize I was doing it. Instead, now I can be like, oh, ooh, that was hard. 4th of July was hard. You know what I'm gonna do? I can look through and be like, wow, that was rough. Here are the things that support me. Here's where I need to like put more effort into, is making sure that I've got my plan written down. I know what I need to do ahead of time. I have myself prepped. I know that's going to be a really tough day because I'm doing all the things by myself. How can I take care of myself in that day so I have capacity to be able to deal with all of the extra stuff that I'm going to be carrying? And creating that calm and creating that space, we're going to talk more about this in the next couple episodes, is like, that is what is allowing me to make good choices and take care of myself. Because when I am present in the moment and I can lower my stress, I then have more capacity to deal with all of the stuff that's going on. And that creates space for my brain to be able to foresee the issues coming up. Like, this is the entire reason that the conference theme is create the calm. Because I know that when we slow down and we create the space for you to take care of yourself and lower your stress response and rewrite these unhelpful patterns, like, this is what's going to allow you the ability to make better decisions, to create the routines that serve you, to find different ways to deal with the stress instead of yelling at everybody in your family or disassociating or hiding or addictions or like whatever else your favorite coping mechanism is. When you have created the stability for yourself to deal with all those in a healthier way, then you don't need the unhealthier ways or the ways that aren't serving you as much. And you can start to rewrite. Like, it takes time for us to like do all the self-improvement work. And I want you to know how valuable that is for your family. Like, all of this work that you're doing, a lot of times it feels like it's not adding up because you don't see this big jump, this big difference. But like, know that as you are taking time to take care of yourself, as you are learning new things, as you're understanding your ADHD, as you are taking care of yourself and learning how to help your family, each of these little things incrementally are adding up. So that when you look back 6 months from now, you're like, wow, I've made it so far. Even though day by day, it didn't feel like it was amounting to much of anything. All of these little things that you do for yourself add up and they matter. It really matters. And you matter. I am with you. This forgetting thing is really hard. We can move from it feeling like an excuse to an explanation and then learn to work with it so that this part of ADHD doesn't feel so painful and hurtful. It feels like something that we don't have to like carry around all that guilt and shame. We can actually move forward and be like, I know that this is part of who I am and I have supports in place so that hopefully this part of me is not hurting my family or my kids. And when it does, because inevitably sometimes things happen, you know, we know how to deal with that in rewriting those unhelpful patterns in our brain to deal with, okay, how am I going to deal with this instead of how am I going to beat myself up about it? And moving forward and creating those new pathways in your brain that will support you and taking care of yourself. Have a really awesome week, Successful Mama, and I'll talk to you next time. For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.